Tonight I would like to preach on a passage of Scripture that has been a tremendous encouragement to my wife and I since the beginning of COVID-19. We'll trust this to encourage and challenge our hearts tonight as we look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91, if you'd like to turn that this evening. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and He is my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious place, this hidden place, this place of abiding in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the fact that it's a hidden place and it becomes our protected place and it's a satisfying place. Lord, bless us this evening. May we just think upon the Lord tonight and his character and his awesomeness, his transcendence, his imminency. What a great God we have. That's the God we can trust. We'll pray tonight that we'll see how we can trust such a God more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. The secret place, this psalm has been called the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. There's no clear indication of who wrote Psalm 91. The ancient doctors, Jewish doctors, used to assign the author to the last named writer of the previous psalm. So if the author is unknown, that is. And so the previous psalm was Psalm 90, and of course the author of Psalm 90 is Moses. You know, when the nation of Israel were camping in the wilderness, they were set up their tents by tribes in a circle facing the Ark of the Covenant in the middle. Each tribe would face the tabernacle from different directions, and Moses was from the tribe of Levi, and so were all his family, and including Aaron and Aaron's sons. And Moses' tent was facing the eastern end of the tabernacle, the way it was designed, directly opposite the outer court entrance. Now, that's as close as most Israelites would get to the tabernacle itself. And no one understood that nature or design of that tabernacle more than Moses did. Not only did Moses deliver the plans from God to the nation of Israel to build the tabernacle, but Moses' home or tent was located very close to the front door entrance to the outer courtyard. And not only did Moses live physically close to the tabernacle, he lived much of his life within the walls of that tabernacle, in the courtyard and an area of the courtyard area. And he wasn't far from the place where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt over that mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant where the high priest served. And he knew from daily experience, Moses did, of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and he'd witnessed being under the shadow of that pillar. And what has all this got to do with the secret place of Psalm 91, you might say? What is this place so richly honoured by God? The secret place. Well, this secret place is wonderfully illustrated in the life of Moses here. See, Moses lived next door to the tabernacle. And he lived close to the secret place of the Most High, beside the tabernacle where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt, and where God met with the high priest once a year. And so not only was Moses close to the secret place, but Moses daily lived under the shadow of the Almighty as the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire cast shadows across the axis, across the whole camp of Israel. And the metaphor is clear. When one is close to God, he will be under the protective care of God. And there is an umbrella of protection available for God's people as they dwell near the secret place of the Most High. But you've got to stay in there. You've got to stay with it. You've got to stay abiding. And the camp of Israel was large. It accommodated more than probably 2 million people and their livestock. And some say the shadows of the pillar of the cloud probably didn't extend past the fringe of the camp. And as a result, any Israelites which chose to live on the fringe or on the edge of the camp with one foot in the world and the other foot in the camp didn't benefit very much, but at least they did benefit from the shadow that was there, from the pillar of cloud. But when Israel was attacked, they were the vulnerable ones. So folks, never live on the edge in your local church. If you want to serve God, get involved, stay there, get in the midst of it all. Don't stay on the fringe. The benefits aren't the same. Be involved in your local church. When Israel was attacked, it was inevitably the Israelites on the fringe who were affected. I say all that to say this. God is saying here that his protective hand under the adversities of life is absolutely, totally, 100% conditional upon abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. If I abide under the shadow of the Almighty, if I remain in that secret place, what is that secret place? It's that place of fellowship. As God's children, we experience all the promises of Psalm 91. They're ours, are flowing through our lives. But all these wonderful promises of Psalm 91, some say as many as 17 or 18 in that psalm, are all conditional upon dwelling in the secret place. And all on one condition, that we live where God wants us to live. All conditional upon verse 1. Where are you and I dwelling this evening? I know we all live in our homes or workplaces or at schools, but are we walking in fellowship there? Are we living in the secret place? While we live in our homes, are we really trusting the Lord this evening? In the names of God, encourage us here to trust him more. Do you know there's four of them are set out here, four names of God, and they develop the character of God so we can say, that's the kind of God that I know I can trust. I can trust a God who says in verse 1, he's the Most High. You know, he's El Elyon. He's the absolute, supreme strength and sovereign God. He's the highest, he's the most supreme being, he's the strongest one. It's a title of God worshipped by Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. He's the only supreme being. He is Lord of all. He is higher than the kings of the earth. And that's who we dwell with. That's a God. We can trust him, can't we? In that secret place. He's the Most High. And then it says, under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, he's almighty. He's not only the Most High, he's almighty. He's totally sufficient. He is adequate for every situation that'll ever come through our paths in our lives that we'll ever face. In fact, El Shaddai or Almighty pictures in many ways an almighty God standing on a mountain. That's the picture there. El Shaddai stems from El is God, and Shad is the one who satisfies and makes one fruitful. And if we want to have a fruitful life, we'd stay in the secret place with the Almighty, the fruitful one. And he says that he will multiply us exceedingly unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's a God who we dwell with in the secret place. That's a God we can trust. That's a God. That's our God that we say we represent when we talk to people. And then he's, not only that, but in verse 2 I say, of the Lord, that's capital letters there, capital L, capital O, capital R and capital D, and that's Yahweh. And he is Jehovah, the covenant-making God. He is the self-existing one. Just turn over to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, we have something that really helps us understand the character of God here. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. I am the self-existent, self-subsisting. I am the eternal God. I am an awesome God. What's that? That's God's transcendence. He's transcendent. He's so beyond our comprehension that our minds can never comprehend the awesome power and wonder of an eternal God like that. And what a God is Jehovah, Yahweh. That's the God we trust. But notice something else about Jehovah there. It says, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. I am transcendent and awesome. But I've sent a transcendent and awesome God to you personally. To you and I personally. He sent them unto you and I. He sent himself into this world. Oh, what a great God that we do have. He's a personal God. I have sent me unto you. If you want life, I am is life. If you want joy, I am joy unspeakable. If you need goodness, I am is our righteousness. If you need peace, he is our peace. He is perfect peace and perfect rest. If you need wisdom, he is all wise. If you need salvation, he's our Saviour. If you need love, God is love. He's a great God, isn't he? That's a God that we have here, a personal God. The Jehovah, the self-existent one, the Saviour, that's the God we trust in the secret place. Amen? And then he's, going back to our reference here, in Psalm 91, we read that, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, in verse 2, and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That's another name. That's Elohim. Elohim is the strong one. He's the first mention of that name in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was God. That's Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we meet that same God again in the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where we read about him. So in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. It's a reference to the Trinity, Father, Son. He is what? He is a creator God. Only God can create something out of nothing. That's our God. Elohim is the God of infinite power. That's the God we dwell with. This is the God that we dwell with in that secret place. Oh, what? Who wouldn't want to be there with him? Who does? He's our creator God. He does all things well. The Most High, the Supreme Strong One, the Almighty who makes us fruitful, the Lord, the transcendent and personal God, and my God, the creator of the universe. This is a God. That's a God who invites you and I to fellowship with him in the Holy of Holies of fellowship. And this hidden life of worship and communion makes possible a public life of service. Many of you people, because you have a Christian school, ACA Christian school here, you've probably heard a testimony of a gentleman. I've said this before on YouTube. This is such an appropriate testimony and application to the secret life, the secret place rather. And I'd like to share and I'd like to read a summary of how a gentleman who used to be the head of ACU International, Dr. David Gibbs, a Christian attorney in the United States, of how he learned to live in the Christian in their secret place. And it's simply this. He said, to live in this place, you must believe with a passion three things. Firstly, you must believe with a passion that God doeth all things well. Everything. God does all things well. The Bible said he does. His way is perfect. He hath done all things well. Are you convinced in your life, no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you encounter in your life, that your God does all things well? Everything. You might say, well, how about this situation? You don't understand what I'm going through. And the minute I say that to God, I've just stepped out of the secret place. Why? Because my God does all things well. You know, when life puts you in a squeeze and things begin to happen in your life and you never dreamed would occur in your life, and you say, blessed be the name of the Lord, he doeth all things well. Or do we say, God, what are you doing? The moment we stop believing that God does all things well, we walk out of the secret place. David Gibbs was brought up in a Christian home and he lived with his parents and his sister. They were all active in church ministry. His family were all involved in the church. David's mother was an accomplished concert pianist and played in the church, and David grew up with his mother, began to suffer as she grew older from polio. Then one day when David was 8 years of age, he was in the kitchen with his mother, and she suddenly said to her, my son, Davey, run quick and get your father. I'm feeling very sick. And David's mum made her way into the lounge and sat down in the lounge, and she never walked again. You see, polio, spinal meningitis had come to David Gibbs' family home. An ambulance was called and they stabilised her, so to speak, and they took her to hospital. And he didn't see his mother again for 2 years, and the doctors were able to keep her alive. And those days, those things called iron lungs. Over the next 2 years, David would wrestle with God, and he wanted to see his mum, and he was, you know, upset about it. And finally, after 2 years, the hospital contacted David's father and said, look, you know, you can visit your mum now. And the day came and they visited the hospital and were told to wait on the fourth floor and mum would be wheeled out. And it was behind glass. And they said they would only be able to see her from a distance, but they'd be able to speak through a microphone. And when mum was wheeled up to the viewing room, she needed assistance to turn around, and as she turned around, she was in pain, and she said to Davey, she said, Davey, don't you think that way? Because mums know what you're thinking and they can read your face, can't they? Said, this is not what I planned. He said, but God is doing all things well, Davey. You've got to believe this. God is doing all things well. Well, David saw his mum's hands and her fingers, and that were all curled up, and the fingers of the master pianist were unable to play piano anymore. And David never forgot his mother's sufferings, and every time he began to get upset, his memories of his mother would pull him back to the secret place. And I asked myself this evening, what does it take you and I to get out of that secret place? What does it take to get you and I out of that secret place that God wants us to live in? Well, finally, David's mum was allowed to come home, and about the first time in 3 years, and she was in a wheelchair and taken off the iron lung. She was able to breathe. And she said to the family, they're having devotions, I'd like you to pray about something. I want to have a ministry. And David said, well, you know, we can pray, Mum, but don't be thinking beyond that, because apart from that, ministry is all over for you. And she looked at David and said, well, God has something for every believer to do, and God is never through with anybody. Well, to cut a long story short, a new pastor came to town and knocked on the door, and David's mum said, would you pray that God would give me a ministry? And after praying, he said, you know, I've got a ministry for you. I'd like you to head up our Sunday school class. There's only one problem. We don't have any children yet. And the mum said, oh, I can solve that problem. I'll teach the class because I've got two and they could be the first students. Oh, well, that was quick, you know. And after a few weeks, David's mum began to develop a burden for more children. She was in the Sunday school. She was going there. And a family were listening to that and wondering how we're going to go about it. And David's mum had an idea. She had a lot of ideas. She said, I want you to take me down to a certain bus company, because I'm going to ask them to give us a bus. And David said, Mum, bus companies sell or rent buses. They don't give them away. We haven't got the money. But she kept saying, God does all things well, and point to God is all powerful. He sits in the heavens, and the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God is all powerful. So their mother said, we must believe God is in control here, and God can do the impossible, and that's faith. Now, we've got to have faith. Well, they put David's mum in the care and in the car, and they decided, well, they would drive down to the bus company. And David's job as a son was to get his mother in and out of the car. In those days, into the wheelchair. And for some reason, when they arrived in the bus car park, and David had never done this before, getting his mum out of the car, he dropped her. And it was right underneath the windows of the officers in the car park. And it took about 45 minutes to stabilise her. They got her up and she was saying, he said, David said, look, you know, we've got to take you home now. He said, no. We're going to go and get this bus. And so he wheeled her in there, into the place. And he said to the lady, we've come to ask you to give us a bus so we can pick up children and take them to Sunday school. You mean you want to buy a bus or hire a bus? We don't give buses away, they said. The receptionist said, you know, we would check on this. I'll check and see what the bosses say. And she rang the vice president, who came downstairs and told David's mum that unless you have money, we can't help you. And David's mum said, can I ask you a question as the vice president? He said, yeah, sure. Do you own the buses? Well, no, I don't. But the president owns the buses. Oh, the president. So that's why you can't give me the buses. You don't own them. This is her logic. So the receptionist agreed. And fast as you could blink, the receptionist must have been on their side, she called the president. And when he arrived, he told the family that they don't give buses away, but he would lend her one bus with one driver for one Sunday because he saw what had happened in the car park, because it had happened underneath his office window when David had dropped her in the car park. And he said, I've got to know what this is all about. Well, the first Sunday, the church got just one bus, but they not only just one bus, but they got two buses. And they got two drivers. And the following Sunday, they got four buses. And then the following week, they got eight buses. And then 2 years later, they were getting 35 buses with 35 drivers. It's an amazing thing. God is all powerful. And that Sunday school apparently grew from 5 years to 5,000. And the president and 35 bus drivers all came to Christ. To live in the secret place, you must believe with a passion that God does all things well. And he's all powerful. He's in control. And there's a third thing. To live in the secret place, you must believe that in everything, give thanks. You've got to praise him. David's home that he lived in when he was a child was a split-level home, and his parents lived downstairs and the children lived upstairs. And often in the middle of the night, David would find himself sitting on the top of the stairs and looking down, and apparently he would see his mum sitting in the lounge room in her wheelchair, and he would listen to her as she prayed and thanked God in her unbelievable pain. And she would pray for everyone by name, including David. He remembered that all through his life. And David began to learn to praise God. And you know, a good way to measure the caliber of a Christian is to see what it takes to quench your praise. What does it take to get you to walk out of that secret place? If you want to help with a problem, a pastor said once, just praise God first. Because if you can't praise God for that problem, no one can help you. No matter what it is, praise him. Many years later, Dave was invited to a church to attend to preach there, and we were sitting in this church, and it was the church that had predominantly Afro-American people there. And the church had a praise service, and it went on for ages. And David had never heard anyone praise God because of this lady who was sitting beside him. All she wanted to do was praise God. It was quite incredible the way she was doing this. In fact, he described her as someone who was addicted to praise. Well, the pastor of the church called David Gibbs up to preach and said, I noticed you were talking to Abby. Did she tell you her testimony? Oh, no, he didn't. She didn't. You know, that lady's amazing. About 2 years ago, her husband and her two teenage boys were walking down to the bus stop to see her boys off to school. And they don't know why to this day, but a gang of men suddenly turned up with shotguns and killed her two teenage boys and her husband. And now she's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. That's the lady who was praising God tonight. The pastor said, when it happened, I rushed to the hospital. I asked her, Abby, what she was going to do. And Abby said, Pastor, let's have church. I need to get back to my passion again. See, David Gibbs often finds himself in his mind, sitting on the staircase at home, and hearing his mother pray and remembering Abby and her passionate praise. And he says this to himself, I would really like to be like my mother or my sister Abby. I'll give anything to sit on the old stairs again and also to listen to sister Abby praise God. He said, but I can't do that now. He can't do that now, because now it's his turn. And God is calling him to the secret place. And now it's my turn. And God's calling me to that secret place. But God can't drag me there. You know? I must want, you and I must want, we must want to be there. And it's my choice and your choice where we live tonight. See, my God does all things well. He is all powerful. And in everything, I will learn to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings of protection shalt thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. It's all up to us, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for that glorious place that God has called every believer to live. It's a secret place because a lot of Christians never find it. But it's freely available. But it's up to us. We need to want to go there. Lord, help us, I pray tonight, to at all costs, to believe that God doeth all things well, and He is all powerful, He's in control, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.